Though controversial, Anderson firmly believes those words written in the introduction of her recently published book, Woman Submit, Christians and Domestic Violence. She considers it an indictment that has taken the secular medical world reaching in to advise and help women from the church see the truth of their situations, get shelter, and inform religious leaders about the need to accept medical and clinical facts about physical and mental abuse for progress to be made.
Secular organizations are constantly addressing the religious aspects of domestic violence. The religious, you know, Christian women struggle with it, and the secular organizations see what Christian women go through and religious women go through. They have set it up as their goal to educate spiritual leaders on the spiritual aspects of on the different aspects of domestic violence so that they can give good counsel to the women coming to them. It's a big issue.
Also controversial is Anderson's assertion that the reasons for slow progress in proper church counsel of abuse victims in Christian marriages include advice based on outdated research that is still present in the most recent editions of some books by well-known Christian medical professionals, counselors, and pastors, even such as Dr. James Dobson and Dr. John MacArthur.
We do see some very big name evangelical leaders blaming the battered woman for the abuse, you know, talking about how she may provoke her husband into doing it, or her poor non-communicative husband can't handle, you know, maybe what she's trying to communicate with him, and he lashes out and hits her, shifts the blame right off him onto her.
According to Anderson, that's another form of the contempt, conscious or subconscious, that seems to exist and get directed toward spouses for tolerating abuse in marriage. She says it's evident among Christians and non-Christians, medical professionals, and even in many court cases where judges rule in favor of custody to the batterer husband because the wife tolerated being battered. She's experienced her own epiphany on the issue after being guilty of it herself.
And I was the same way because domestic violence and abuse, marital abuse, was so late in being introduced in my life. I was almost 40. I had the same attitude. I simply could not comprehend why any woman would tolerate such a thing. My attitude was, well, she needs to get out. If she doesn't get out, essentially it's her fault.
But once domestic violence was introduced into her life, the shoe was on the other foot, so to speak. And Anderson says she and her attitude changed. Because of scripture study, she came to disagree with bias stemming from the notion of battered woman syndrome, which she contends has been the basis, officially and unofficially, for many in the legal and governmental systems to declare a woman incompetent to have custody of her children in a fractured marriage.
Part of it is that they say that she's become incompetent to make these decisions because battered woman syndrome says that she's got a mentality that her husband was like Almighty God, omnipresent, all-powerful, and she's incapable of leaving the situation and making responsible decisions because she's under this control.
In her book and speaking engagements, Anderson proposes a perspective on the reasons for a woman's actions in an abusive marriage that also includes both practical aspects from her research and a Christian worldview from her personal experience and those of other evangelical women she's met. She says in general, a woman instinctively knows what studies and clinical family experts have proven in fact, that her life is in danger from a spouse who's physically abusive, especially if he thinks she'll try to leave.
There are a lot of books and there's a lot of documentation documenting that, you know, good reasons why a woman in a battering situation, an abusive situation, does not leave. One of the reasons is she has a 75% greater chance of dying when she tries to leave that situation. That is a fact. That is the most dangerous time in her relationship.
But she says biblical scripture from the book of Genesis also made it clear to her that after the Garden of Eden, God established a condition of human nature in which women, particularly Christian wives, would struggle to please their husbands no matter what.
And I believe that third chapter of Genesis gives us a clue when the woman is told, your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you. The clue right there is no matter how he acts, her desire is often still toward him. She loves him. She responds to the abuse with an even greater determination to try to resolve the situation and make it better.
Anderson never advocates divorce, yet she says after domestic violence enters the marriage picture, there must eventually come a point where a Christian woman decides what the will of God is for her in the face of the dangers of abuse. And that is where Anderson says the woman will likely conflict with pressure from the church to stay, no matter what.
I had a lot of questions about what was truly God's will for me to do in this situation. And every time I made a decision concerning my marriage, I wanted to know it was the right decision according to the scriptures and according to the will of God.
The best news for her, she says, and perhaps ultimately for those who have been helped in the desperation of domestic violence in Christian homes, was when she determined God understood her desire to follow his will, but also cared about her enough not to want her to remain in physical danger.
That was the biggest challenge for me, was knowing that it was not God's will for me to tolerate that abuse.
We'll conclude this look at Jocelyn's testimony and current ministry next week. I'm Ed Thomas for AFN News.